This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
You can bring up what you want here. Hour number three is where we're at now. We are in the midst of a really interesting and detailed piece. You know, we don't normally spend that much time on one thing here, but this is a really unusual piece written by a former cop, calls himself a former bastard cop. It's Confessions of a Former Bastard Cop. At Medium.com, the author is Officer A.Cav. And we're going to continue with that. With you tonight, though, is Ian.
Mark.
Aria.
And so after summing up, you know, some of the crazy stuff that happens with the indoctrination of the police in police training, how in the variety of different ways that police tell lies to people just to, you know, get them to obey or trick them into confessions and things like that, going over some of the just absolutely outrageous brainwashing they're doing of the police in the academy. He then gets into takeaways, recommendations from... He says, from this, if you take nothing else away from this essay, I want you to tattoo this on your brain forever. If a police officer is telling you something, it is probably a lie designed to gain your compliance. Do not talk to cops and never, ever believe them. Do not, quote, try to be helpful, unquote, with cops. Do not assume they are trying to catch someone else instead of you. Do not assume that what they are doing is important or even legal. Under no circumstances assume any police officer is acting in good faith. Also, and this is important, do not talk to cops. I just remembered something. In bold, do not talk to cops. Checking my notes real quick, something jumped out at me. And then he puts in every line, one word per line, do not effing talk to cops ever. Say, I don't answer questions, and ask if you're free to leave. Now, he's not an attorney, but as I understand it, that's good advice.
Good that suggestion. Is good advice. I've heard attorneys giving the same advice.
Yeah. Don't answer questions.
Yeah. It's hard not to answer questions
when
you're in that position.
That's the best way to do it, though. So that way you are answering by saying, I don't answer questions. So you're still saying something back. Because the police know you have a want to speak, right? Like there's this sort of, it's a conversation. They're just talking to you, right? Like you want to talk to another human being. It's just sort of a natural thing that humans do. We talk. And so they take advantage of that. So you want to react. You want to say something back. Just say, I don't answer questions.
Well, even beyond that, when you're in that situation, it's hard to remember that you don't have to answer their questions.
Right.
As a matter of fact, the Supreme Court has come out recently.
Yeah.
The last few years
ago.
Said that in order to remain silent, you must tell them that you're remaining silent.
And otherwise, saying I don't answer questions effectively accomplishes.
I think it does too, but I just want to make sure that this isn't, this isn't three crazy libertarians giving you advice. This is pretty much the advice of every lawyer you're ever going to talk to. Yep. Should I talk to police?
No.
And the answer is just no. And look, I'm not trying to say that I hate cops. I don't. But you shouldn't talk to them because it's their job to throw you in jail. I mean, you're there. The criminal is elsewhere, whomever the criminal is. Whoever you think the bad guy is, he's not there. You are.
He's probably wearing a badge. The bad guy's wearing a badge in a lot of cases.
I don't know if I'm prepared to say that, but...
Well,
they're telling lies.
Based on what Officer A.Cav here has written.
Well, I get why they allow police officers to tell lies.
I don't.
Okay, I do. It's to try to catch a bad guy doing bad things.
You can't uphold justice by being unjust.
Well, let me go back one step. Remember how we said if police officers weren't enforcing the drug laws in this country, that they were just after rapists and murderers and arsonists, that there wouldn't be a problem today? Like people wouldn't be arguing? And I don't want to argue with you about what you think about cops based on the world it is today, when what my argument is that we need to stop the drug war, and then you won't have cops. Like, we need to stop the drug war not just for people who do drugs, but for the cops, too.
Well, that's only one thing, right? They're still going to be going after other people for other BS things. Whatever BS there is that's on the books, there's going to be plenty of it. But it will be a large factor.
It's a large factor.
So he says, don't answer, say, I don't answer questions, and ask if you're free to leave. If so, leave. If not, tell them you want your lawyer, and that per the Supreme Court, they must terminate questioning. If
yes.
they don't, file a complaint and collect some badges for your mantle. Do the bastards ever help? He asks. Reading the above, you may be tempted.
He makes it sound so simple to hold police accountable.
Well, it is simple, but it's not easy.
Okay. Right?
Those are simple recommendations.
Sure.
And they are effective. Reading the above, you may, and I would also add record video if you can. You may be tempted to ask whether cops do anything good. And the answer is, sure, sometimes. In fact, most officers I worked with thought they were usually helping the helpless and protecting the safety of innocent people. During my tenure in law enforcement, I protected women from domestic abusers, arrested cold-blooded murderers and child molesters, and comforted families who lost children to car accidents and other tragedies. I helped connect struggling people in my community with local resources for food, shelter, and counseling. I de-escalated situations that could have turned violent and talked a lot of people down for making the biggest mistake of their lives. I worked with plenty of officers who were individually kind, bought food for homeless residents, or otherwise showed care for their community.
How many great acts? I mean, these all sound like great acts, and I'll bet you it's not just this guy. It's almost all officers do, great acts. Now, how many great acts versus a criminal act is an acceptable ratio? Now, if you were to
believe...
Are
you asking me? Because my answer is zero.
Right, and I think that that's what society sees. And I think that that's a bit of a problem, right? Like, human beings do bad things.
Sure, but you can't have your cops being... The cops have to be above that.
I think they should be. Yeah.
Well, and I think if they're not above that, they don't have the right to be cops.
Well, and if they do a bad thing, they should pay the price, and that doesn't happen. They're protected.
I think you'll do a lot better. I think that the single biggest thing you can do to fix policing in America is do away with the drug war.
Well, right. He's got some other suggestions here in just a moment. He says, the question is this. Did I need a gun and sweeping police powers to help the average person on the average night? The answer is no. When I was doing my best work as a cop, I was doing mediocre work as a therapist or social worker. My good deeds were listening to people failed by the system and trying to unite them with any crumbs of resources the structure was currently denying them. It's also important to note that well over 90% of the calls for service I handled were reactive, showing up well after a crime had taken place. We would arrive, take a statement, collect evidence, if any, file the report, and on to the next caper. Most, quote, active crimes that we stopped were someone harmlessly possessing or selling small amounts of drugs. Very, very rarely would we stop something dangerous in progress or stop something from happening entirely. The closest we would usually get was seeing someone running away from the scene of a crime, but the damage was still done. And consider this. My job as a police officer required me to be a marriage counselor, mental health crisis professional, a conflict negotiator, social worker, child advocate, traffic safety expert, a sexual assault specialist, and every once in a while, a public safety officer authorized to use force, all after only 1,000 hours of training at a police academy. Does the person we send to catch a robber also need to be the person that we send to interview a rape victim or document a fender bender? Should one profession be expected to do all that important community care with very little training all at the same time? To put this another way, I made double the salary most social workers made to do a fraction of what they could do to mitigate the causes of crimes in desperation.
Yeah.
I can count very few times that my monopoly on state violence actually made our citizens safer, and even then, it's hard to say better-funded social safety nets and dozens of other community care specialists wouldn't have prevented a problem before it started. Armed, indoctrinated, and dare I say traumatized cops do not make you safer. Community mutual aid networks who can unite other people with the resources they need to stay fed, clothed, and housed make you safer. I really want to hammer this home. Every cop in your neighborhood is damaged by their training, emboldened by their immunity, and they have a gun and the ability to take your life with near impunity. This does not make you safer, even if you're white. So how do you solve a problem like a bastard? And what do we do about it? Even though I'm an expert on bastardism, I'm not a public policy expert nor an expert in organizing post-police society. So before I give some suggestions, let me tell you what probably won't solve the problem of bastard cops. Increased bias training. A quarterly or even monthly training session is not capable of covering over years of trauma-based camaraderie in police forces. I can tell you from experience, we don't take it seriously. The proctors let us cheat on whatever tests there are. And we all made fun of it later over coffee. So he's talking about mandatory, sensitivity training
right.
and things
well,
like that.
Well, I mean, you know that training they make you take when you get caught for a speeding ticket? Like,
yeah.
Once every 10
total
years?
Total BS.
Right. Total BS. I mean, how seriously do you take this? I think now they have classes online that you can take. You don't even have to be in front of the computer. It can just play.
Just pay the fee. Spend the time. That's what they want you to do. More coming up here, 855, 450 free. So he's got some ideas. He's going to share them. You can share your thoughts with us, too. This is Free Talk Live.
This COVID-19 thing has turned the world upside down. Regardless of what you believe about it, it has changed our lives. But what's not changed is that if you own a business, you need to advertise to reach new customers or clients. Our audience is not the kind to stick their heads in the sand during a crisis. They are fully engaged and more active than ever. Special advertising packages are available to you to help you not just recover, but thrive. Email my sales manager, Matthew at freetalklive.com.
When we adopted Buddy, we didn't know that he has the feet sitting up. Sit-ups that just put him down.
DinoVite.com.
I heard about Dinovite and started mixing it in with his food. He's happy, he's healthy, and he's going to be with me for a long time because of Dinovite.
I love my dog. I want him happy and healthy, so I give him Dinovite.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
I get my Dinovite from DinoVite.com.
Got shaving irritation? Shave Secret Shaving Oil can help stop it. Shave Secret doesn't cost much and is an all-American product. My name is Chuck Howard, and I developed Shave Secret and pioneered its use starting back in 1991. Ingrown hairs drove me nuts for years. Shaving oil changed all that. Why put up with ingrown hair? Bumps, red rash, nicks, and cuts. Shave Secret provides men and women with what we believe is the best shave ever. Our proprietary blend of 100% natural base and essential oils plus a hint of menthol was designed to help eliminate shaving irritations like ingrown hairs, bumps, red rash, nicks, and cuts. We'll lose those shaving irritations. Available at Super Walmart, HEB, Wegmans, Giant Eagle, Discount Drug, Navy and Marine Exchanges, Amazon, and ShaveSecret.com. Use the code FTL for Free Talk Live and get a discount. Shave Secret, the best shave ever.
With more people listening to radio than visit Google, Facebook, or YouTube, from the very young to the very old, everyone listens to radio. Pillow companies, alarm, identity theft, nutrition, insurance, banking, automotive, the list goes on and on. Billion-dollar businesses, why? The answer is radio, the media everyone tunes into. Find out how effective and affordable radio can be for your business. Contact 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Nikki, great product. Have to try it for a few months to see results. After taking Extendovite for about 6 months, I have noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from carpal tunnel. I will continue to buy the product. 10 Peaks, 5 out of 5 stars. Works as advertised. This formula is very powerful. Be careful to follow directions. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized and my lower edema has reduced. Lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. Thank you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Live. We invite you to join us here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE-LIKE-FREEDOM. That's 855-450-3733. We have the Discord call-in line rooms at discord.lrn.fm. With you tonight, it's Ian.
And Mark.
And Aria.
Also coming up very, very soon, it's going to be ForkFest 2020. Aria, what are you looking forward to?
The entire thing, man.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All 2 weeks of it?
All 2 weeks of it, yeah. Because I'm a lunatic like that. I'm like, hey, yeah, why not? Let's go spend 2 weeks in the rugged mountains where even the motel room is not very luxurious.
It isn't, but that's okay.
It is. I mean, that's not the
ground.
It does. It does indeed.
Yeah, I love it. It's a lot of fun.
The culture, the communities there, it's fantastic.
That's what I'm looking forward to.
You can go to forkfest.party. You can learn more about the event. We've been promoting it as June 29th until July 5th, and that's, I think, what most people are going to consider to be the pure ForkFest week, but it now has expanded because the Porcupine Freedom Festival sort of cut back their festival, so now both festivals can exist at the same time. So some people are going to start celebrating ForkFest on June 22nd at Rogers Campground, but again, the main week will be June 29th through July 5th over at Rogers Campground. You can go to give them a call and reserve your either campsite or RV site or your motel room. It is up to you, and I think it's going to be a great event. So maybe it'll end up being bigger than last year. I really don't know what to expect, whether it's going to be bigger or about the same size, but it will be a good time, and there are a number of people who are planning on coming out to it, including first-timers, people who've never been to ForkFest before. So if you can come on out, join us, you definitely should do that. It's a decentralized libertarian camping festival. There's no organizers. You just kind of do your own thing, whatever that is that you want to do. Maybe you just want to kind of hang out and camp with other people. That's cool. Or maybe you want to create something for other people to experience. So, Aria, I know that you and Captain Kickass and I think it was Michael are putting together a band.
We are. And we're going to be
your first performance.
Yes.
It will be ForkFest.
And it will also be ForkFest's first performance.
That's true. So, first live musical performance in the 4 years that ForkFest has happened.
But, so, I mean, now somebody's going to bring an acoustic guitar and, like, beat us to it just to do it, you know?
Maybe. ForkFest.party, go there and learn more. As we go back to the former cop, former bastard cop, as he describes himself, he's obviously sorry for what he's done. He's trying to make things as right as he can after the fact by talking some truth, specifically about what is not going to solve the problem of bad cops. He points out more of this mandatory sensitivity bias training. He says the cops think it's BS. They don't take it seriously. Tougher laws? Says that's not going to work. I hope you understand by now, cops do not follow the law and will not hold each other accountable to it. Tougher laws are all the more reason to circle the wagons and protect your brothers and sisters, meaning your thin blue line. More community policing programs. He says, yeah, there's a marginal effect when a few cops get to know members of the community, but look at the protests of 2020. Many of the cops pepper-spraying journalists were probably the nice school cop a month ago. Police officers do not protect and serve people. They protect and serve the status quo, polite society, and private property. Using the incremental mechanisms of the status quo will never reform the police, because the status quo relies on police violence to exist. And then he gets political here. He says, capitalism requires a permanent underclass to exploit for cheap labor, and it requires the cops to bring that underclass to heel. Instead of wasting time with minor tweaks, I recommend exploring the following ideas.
Wait a second. Does the underclass work in the United States? I mean, and the lowest quintile, when you're talking about lowest quintile of earners in the United States, you take 325 million people,
sure,
and you take 20% of them. Of those people, are they working?
Well, there's a good chunk of that 325 million who are not working at all.
Period. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
So I think that his claim that capitalism requires underclass to be exploited, and that we are socializing the policing of that underclass to themselves, right? Like this nonsense. This is a bunch of gobbledygook here.
Well, it was one sentence.
I understand, but this is where it all comes from. Is that?
I think you know
this is the mindset of the people that are rolling the TVs out of a burning target, and this is what justifies this crap.
He said a lot of things in there that are going to upset the left by pointing out that, you know, you're, being white won't protect you from the cops killing you. I mean, he said that specifically.
And he put quotes around social contracts. So there's been a lot to like, and he did call the police rightfully the monopoly on violence. I mean, he's been spot on almost all of what he said here.
I mean, those statements are going to upset the left, so he's kind of got to throw these statements out there, whether he believes them or not, to placate.
People have different beliefs about what capitalism even means. I don't know what it really even means. So.
Well, capitalism.
Well, clearly, it doesn't require an exploited underclass, because the exploited underclass, the United States, is exploiting you.
It would liquidate the underclass. It would give them jobs, and there would no longer be an exploited underclass. That's how the free market would handle
it. If it was a free market.
A lot of these people think jobs are exploitation.
Well, yeah, there's some special people out there.
Well, let me get into his recommendations, all right? So he already said what won't work.
Okay.
And now he's going to say what he thinks would work. No more qualified immunity. Good. Police officers should be personally liable for all decisions they make in the line of duty. Agree.
All right. And the same. I think they should be liable in the same way that, say, a beer truck distributor guy is liable for his actions on the job. So, I mean, you know, like if he gets into an accident, you can not only sue him, but you can sue the beer truck, the beer company, too.
Now, does this work with other companies, like at the other place that which I work? Let's not mention it. If I was to do something illegal or assault someone, would the company be held liable, or could I be sued individually? Obviously, an attorney would say, no, sue the company because they have more money, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But could they even attempt to sue me personally for it?
Well, yeah, I think absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely.
Would we get the choice about whether or not to sue the police department or the individual cop?
You would have that choice, and you could do both if there were no qualified immunity.
I'm not hearing a downside to this.
Yeah, get rid of qualified immunity.
No, there's not a downside to it. This is a good idea.
Okay. No more civil asset forfeiture. That's point number two. Totally agree. And we're seeing some reforms in that area in some states.
Free Talk Live has been saying this for years. Civil asset forfeiture is basically just a criminal activity.
He says, do you know that every year citizens like you lose more cash and property to unaccountable civil asset forfeiture than to all burglaries combined?
Yeah.
I didn't know that, but I believe it. The police can steal your stuff without charging you with a crime, and it makes some police departments very rich.
Yes. And I think that that's another thing we need to do, is stop letting police departments increase their bottom line through the actions
through
that they
actions,
take.
Yeah.
One of the things I like about New Hampshire is that a local cop who is less likely to hand you a ticket, because if he does give you a ticket, the money goes to the state.
And they don't see a dime in the local
department. The local municipality doesn't see it. So, at the very least, you get the impression when a local cop hands you a ticket, he meant it. Because he's not getting the money. Whereas Waldo, Florida, had its police department shut down because they were basically a for-profit organization.
Totally funding everything through ticket writing, in that case. Break the power of police unions. Point number three. He says police unions make it nearly impossible to fire bad cops and incentivize protecting them to protect the power of the union.
Yep.
A police union is not a labor union. Police officers are powerful state agents, not exploited workers.
Right. I don't think there should be any public sector unions. I'm sure this guy won't go that far, and that's not what this article is about. But
he's right there.
Hell, FDR didn't like public sector unions. And
I will agree with this. I mean, I'm generally a fan of unions, but public sector unions, that's a different story.
And police unions are the worst of the worst. 855-450-FREE, that's 855-450-3. 733. He's got two more recommendations just how to try to make this crazy system a little bit better. 855-450-FREE is our number. You can join us on the radio. This is Free Talk Live.
The next generation wallet is coming from Divvy. In just a few taps, you'll be able to send, earn, spend, and exchange digital money in seconds. Send money around the globe with only a swipe. Instantly exchange between Divvy, Bitcoin, and fiat right in the mobile app, and withdraw directly to your bank account. Divvy already offers the first one-tap solution for earning passive income with crypto. Multi-tiered masternodes allow everyone to partake in the network. Visit DivvyProject.org. DivvyProject.org.
Bitcoin.com has launched a trading platform at local.bitcoin.com, allowing you to buy or sell Bitcoin Cash via dozens of payment methods like PayPal, Venmo, bank deposit, remittances, or meeting in person with cash. There are no ID requirements to sign up for and use the site, and all communications between buyers and sellers are encrypted. Finally, a global trading platform that respects your privacy. Visit local.bitcoin.com to get started trading Bitcoin Cash. local.bitcoin.com.
U.S. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
During emotional testimony, George Floyd's brother asked lawmakers to ensure his brother didn't die in vain.
Honor George and make the necessary changes that make law enforcement the solution and not the problem.
Philanice Floyd says he saw the video from Minneapolis.
Maybe by speaking with you today, I can make sure that his death would not be in vain. To make sure that he is more than another face on a T-shirt, more than another name on a list that won't stop growing.
He appeared before the House Judiciary Committee. Gerald Nadler is the committee chair.
Millions of Americans now call out "I can't breathe" as a rallying cry in streets all across our country, demanding a fundamental change in the culture of law enforcement and meaningful accountability for officers who commit misconduct.
This is USA Radio News. It was a big step announced by Police Chief Madaria Arredondo.
I am immediately withdrawing from the contract negotiations with the Minneapolis Police Federation.
He's planning for transformation reforms in the department following the death of George Floyd in the hands of several officers. He plans to introduce a new system that uses real-time data to pinpoint possible behavioral problems.
Integrate new systems that use research on police behavior to connect officer performance data so department leaders can identify early warning signs of misconduct.
Many states are now seeing a spike in coronavirus infections and a surge of cases filling up hospitals. Texas reports more than 2,000 people hospitalized, a record high. Arkansas hit a record as well. And in Arizona, officials are urging hospitals to activate emergency plans. Some hospitals are already at capacity. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-453. That's 855-453.
Yeah! What you want here, the toll-free number is 855-453. Like Freedom, that's 855-450-3733. Mark, it's important to advertise even in an economic downturn, right?
Yeah, I'm afraid so. There's a really great story about Wrigley's gum and what they did during World War II. They couldn't get the materials to make gum. You would think if they weren't going to be able to make gum for a series of years that they don't know how long it's going to be, they'd stop advertising. But Wrigley didn't think that was a good idea. He wanted to keep the market share that he had, and what it turned out was he basically conquered gum for decades after that because he not
How many other gum manufacturers can you think of?
Any of these might be owned by Wrigley's, and I don't know, right? I don't know.
Hubba Bubba's a brand, right? Wrigley's
it's a make as opposed to a model, right? Or something like that. Yeah, make it's a model as opposed to a make.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, you know, this, it just goes to show how important branding is during times like this. Wrigley's went on to make advertisements saying, hey, we can't make gum right now, but we will. And when we're back, just understand we've been supporting our soldiers overseas. You know, just basically said it. Now, some people might consider that exploitative, but it's really just informative. Mm-hmm. There really was gum going to soldiers, and you know, they were using the others for other gum to make tires and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, that's what they had to do, and they did it with aplomb, and they were rewarded for decades.
So if you want to do some advertising with Free Talk Live, we're offering, you know, certain offers, and they could reach out to you through your manager, Matthew at freetalklive.com.
Yeah, the easiest way is just go through Matthew at freetalklive.com. You could send me an email at mark at freetalklive.com that I will then forward to Matthew.
Right.
As I see, you know, I'll CC Matthew as I thank you for contacting me if you want. And people do want to do that because I've did that job for so long. But Matthew is doing a good job. So
very good. So there you go. We're going to go to Dave Ridley. He's on our Discord server, and we'll get some more advice from this former cop who's got some ideas as to how to shape him up a little bit. Go ahead, Ridley.
Hey, guys. I just got back from a Black Lives Matter demonstration here in Winchester.
Really?
You know, kind of in the middle of nowhere, but it attracted about 60 people, I think.
Okay.
And the most interesting thing I saw at this demonstration was that the police chief attended without a mask.
How about that?
I don't know how common that is, you know, for both of those things to happen. The other thing that was interesting to me was just that it all seemed a little bit less strident than I would have expected. It was a little bit more tolerant than I would have expected.
Hmm.
I tried to go and ask the toughest questions I could think of, and everyone was very receptive. No one got angry at me for trying to ask relatively hard questions.
Well, that's good to know. I've been to a few of these events myself, and I did see the police come to the Keene event, and they were holding signs that said, we hear you, which is, of course, is different than saying we are listening to you, and far different than saying we're going to change. But, you know, it was a nice gesture on their part and probably a very smart move towards de-escalation. So I'll give them credit for that.
The other thing that's consistently on my mind as this stuff goes forward is that, you know, one of the problems in Bosnia was that ethnicity was tied to political party, right? And so you had political movements that were connected too closely to political parties, and one was almost synonymous with the other. And that is something I don't like about a political movement that has an ethnic name right in the top, right? I mean, if you're naming a political movement after an ethnicity, that's usually a red flag. But nevertheless, you got to believe what you see, not what you hear. And I was really impressed with this Black Lives Matter support demonstration.
Very cool. Thanks for the report. I'm sure we'll see video hitting your channel over at RidleyReport.com.
It's trickling out. I'm so backlogged on video. I have so much interesting video.
Yeah.
I've been trickling it out as fast as I can.
Very good. Thanks, Dave. Keep up the great work. Appreciate it. That's Dave Ridley doing great on the ground, man on the ground, independent journalism here in New Hampshire. So back to the recommendations from the former bastard cop. He's got three big points out already. No qualified immunity. Get rid of that crap. No more civil asset forfeiture. Get rid of that. And break the power of police unions. Point number four. These are, again, how to change the existing monopoly on violence to make it less awful. Require malpractice insurance. Doctors must pay for insurance in case they botch a surgery. Police officers should do the same for botching a police raid or any other use of force. If human decency won't motivate police to respect human life, perhaps hitting their wallet might. Now, departments have insurance, which are paid for by taxpayers.
Yeah.
So he's suggesting the officers individually should also have insurance.
This isn't just doctors. This is a lot of careers need to be bonded in some way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when departments get their insurance, it's amortized out over all the police officers. And that may be a better thing financially, but really what you want to do, if you want to get rid of the bad apples, is you want to make people have their own insurance, because the insurance company will then say at some point, you're no longer certified to be a police officer.
Yep. We're not protecting you anymore. And if that's the case, they're going to be fired.
Also, if the police officers have their own insurance, then it'll be a significantly easier to report an officer as opposed to a department. Right now, what we've seen here on Free Talk Live, we reported on this multiple times, is that it's very difficult to report somebody.
Mm-hmm.
The police will pretend like they reported them.
Right.
They don't want
to report their buddies.
Right. They're not going to go to their insurance company and say, hey, we're a bigger risk.
Right.
Would you?
And then penultimate point here, defund, demilitarize, and disarm the cops. Thousands of police departments own assault rifles, armored personnel carriers, and stuff you'd see in a war zone. Police officers have grants and huge budgets to spend on guns, ammo, body armor, and combat training. 99% of calls for service require no armed response, yet when all you have is a gun, every problem feels like target practice. Cities are not safer when unaccountable bullies have a monopoly on state violence and the equipment to execute that monopoly. Gotta say, I agree with all five of those points. He's got one more. One final idea. Consider abolishing the police. I know what you're thinking. What? We need the police.
That's not what I'm thinking.
As someone who did it for nearly a decade, I need you to understand that by and large, police protection is marginal, incidental. It's an illusion created by decades of copaganda. That's a new one.
Funny.
Designed to fool you into thinking these brave men and women are holding back the barbarians at the gates. That's what the whole thin blue line concept is. At least that's the way they present it publicly. We know that what it is a gang symbol. But they present it as though, we're the thin blue line protecting society from the criminals. The criminal hordes. I alluded to this above, he writes. The vast majority of calls for service I handled were theft reports, burglaries reports, domestic arguments that hadn't escalated into violence, loud parties, homeless people loitering, traffic collisions, very minor drug possession, and arguments between neighbors. Mostly the mundane ups and downs of life in the community, with little inherent danger. And like I mentioned, the vast majority of crimes I responded to, even violent ones, had already happened. My unaccountable license to kill was irrelevant. What I mainly provided was an objective, quote, third party with the authority to document property damage, ask people to chill out or disperse, or counsel people not to beat each other up. A trained counselor or conflict resolution specialist would be 10 times more effective than someone with a gun strapped to his hip, wondering if anyone would try to kill him when he showed up. There are many models for community safety that can be explored if we get away from the idea that the only way to be safe is to have a man with an M4 rifle prowling your neighborhood, ready at a moment's notice to write down your name and birthday after you've been robbed and beaten. You might be asking, what about the armed robbers, the gangsters, the drug dealers, the serial killers? And yes, in the city I worked, I regularly broke up gang parties, found gang members carrying guns, and handled homicides. I've seen some tragic things, from a reformed gangster shot in the head with his brains oozing out, to a 15-year-old boy taking his last breath in his screaming mother's arms thanks to a gang member's bullet. I know the wages of violence. And this is where we have to have the courage to ask, why do people rob? Why do they join gangs? Why do they get addicted to drugs or sell them? It's not because they're inherently evil. I submit to you that these are the results of living in a capitalist system. He goes, I can't say more about that. Coming up in a moment, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. But his reforms, I got to say, he's spot on with those suggestions.
Yeah, I can't argue with him.
You're going to keep a police state. Those are some important ideas. There's more coming up here. This is Free Talk Live.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your flies, water. Get your Bug Assault today.
This is a pandemic survival alert and the most time-sensitive messages you will hear this year. You still have time to plant a one-acre crisis garden and secure a supply of your own nutrient-dense food. But time is running out, and it's one deadline you don't want to miss. Who should plant a crisis garden? Individuals, families, churches, communities, anyone or any group that sees hard times ahead. Let's face it, even the mainline media is talking about food supply disruptions and the growing number of grocery store workers who are becoming sick. But there's more. Meat packing plants are closing. Mile-long lines at food pantries, and more farmers now in financial trouble. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables this summer may be the single most important thing you do. Go to survivalseedbank.com and watch the new video to understand what we're really up against. Get free bonus seeds, special quarantine reports, too. Don't wait. Every minute counts. Go to survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight. At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutralizes the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@GCNlive.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNlife.com or toll free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNlife.com.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Thoughts you want to share, you can join us. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. In what has been a mostly very informative and very interesting story written by a former cop calling himself a former bastard cop, confessions therein, he gets a little utopian towards the end after some great ideas on some things that could be done immediately, like ending qualified immunity, breaking up police unions, requiring individual malpractice insurance, no more civil asset forfeiture, and defunding, demilitarizing, and disarming the police. He then goes on, and I'm going to skip most of this sort of utopian stuff where he gets into, you know, the question of, well, why is crime happen? It's because people are in bad circumstances for the most part, right? Like, they're just responding to that, so what if
Well, that's almost self-evident, right?
Yeah, but so then he talks about, well, what if we have all
this wasn't capitalism that made it happen.
Well, I also would go so far as to say, as somebody who went from the lowest socioeconomic class in America, which is a convict, yes, I had some advantages in that I had a loving family that would help take care of me a little bit getting out, but I had to go get a job, and right. it's not like they gave me $1 million or something like that. I had to go from the lowest class to the middle class. I think anybody can do it. It's not easy, but it's simple.
Sure.
It's a simple answer. Don't spend money. If you save your money, then you will go from the lowest class to the middle class, and all you have to do is, you know...
Well, it's not just a matter of not spending their money. You know, they can spend money, but their expenses cannot meet or exceed their income, and for most people it does.
Yes.
And that's how they end up in debt that they can never pay.
And they're not trained on how to handle money. They don't teach that in school. And
no, they're too busy teaching us freaking algebra and other crap that we're never going to need.
60% of Americans can't put their hands on $1,000. I don't know if I'd want to be middle class in that case. What I want to do is I want to have my house paid off. Whether it's a palace or a cottage, I want it paid off.
So then he gets into, you know, how do you make people's lives better? And he gets, this is why I say he gets a little utopian about, well, let's just take care of everybody's needs, free, you know, free health care, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. He's a Bernie bro.
That's not going to probably pan out the way he thinks that it will. And so he wraps up his essay here from Medium.com. And I will post this, by the way, on our Twitter at twitter.freetalklive.com, on our Mastodon at toots.freetalklive.com, and our Telegram channel at telegram.freetalklive.com. He says, to any cops who've made it this far down, this is almost the end here, is this really the world you want to live in? Aren't you tired of the trauma, the soul sickness inherent to the badge, tired of looking the other way when your partners break the law? Are you really wanting to kill the next George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, or Tamir Rice? How confident are you that your next use of force will be something you're proud of? I'm writing this for you, too. It's wrong what our training did to us. It's wrong that they hardened our hearts to our communities, and it's wrong to pretend this is normal. Look, I wouldn't have been able to hear any of this for much of my life. You reading this now may not be able to hear this yet either, but do me this one favor. Just think about it. Just turn over in your mind for a couple of minutes. Yes, and me for a minute. Look around you and think about the kind of world you want to live in. Is it one where an all-powerful stranger with a gun keeps you and your neighbors in line with the fear of death? Or can you picture a world where, as a community, we embrace our most vulnerable, meet their needs, heal their wounds, honor their dignity, and make them family instead of desperate outsiders? If you take only three...
I don't like either one of those.
Well,
if one you're was, antisocial.
If one were voluntary, then it wouldn't be a problem.
Right. If taking care of our most vulnerable is going to just simply create more vulnerable people, if doing less...
Well, I don't know. I mean, if you're taking care of a crippled man, I don't think you're going to make more vulnerable people by doing that.
There are people literally out there that are dropping acid in their eyes because they consider themselves to be trans blind. I mean, there's not a lot of them, but
they
exist.
Oh, yeah, I remember we talked about that. It's pretty crazy stuff.
Yeah.
So he says...
I mean, don't you think they're getting a government check?
So, anyway, he wraps up by saying, if you take only three things away from this essay, I hope the third is that you and your community don't need bastards to thrive. And the first thing, by the way, was don't talk to the police. So there you go. That's the guy. He is the former cop. We'll, again, post that on our social media. You can see the whole thing there. Mark, you've got some additional suggestions from libertarians at Reason.com as to how to defund the police. What do you got in mind?
Yeah, this is a rather long article, so I'm going to just fly through it. We don't have much time here. Number one, if you don't account for revenue from fines, fees, forfeiture, this can all backfire against the poor. A city's general fund isn't always the sole source of a police department's funding. In Los Angeles, the general fund accounts for about $6 billion of the city's $10.5 billion budget. In any number of police departments across the country, their budgets are bolstered by money from fees and fines paid when somebody is arrested for a crime. Many police departments are also able to keep some or even all of the money or property they seize from people they arrest.
Asset, civil asset and criminal asset forfeiture. That's the other aspect that he didn't touch on. But the criminal aspect, criminal asset forfeiture should, of course, only be reserved for real crimes, when, in fact, you know, selling drugs should not count. That should not be a crime.
Number two, police employee pension commitments are crushing your budgets. While it's tempting to see these militarized police forces and think that we're spending too much of our tax money on riot gear, pepper spray, armored vehicles, the reality is that the money is just a small part of the department's budget.
That's a great point. It's visible. You can see the Bearcat rolling down the street, so that's something that people are more likely to talk about. But what he's saying here is it's actually the pension funds that are a huge ballooning cost.
Yeah.
And by the way, I believe that up here, at least, I don't know if it's as consistent across departments around the country, but I'm pretty sure they pay 90% of whatever the cop's final yearly salary was.
And a lot of times, it's the final yearly salary or sometimes an average of the final three yearly salaries, but whatever it is, the police understand that the police that are looking to retire, they're getting the extra hours, the overtime, these sorts of things. They pad this scenario because they know they want it done for them. And so their last 3 years, they're the ones getting the overtime and stuff, and that way their pension is that much larger.
Yeah, and that's why you'll see a lot of the cops will quit or they'll retire, rather, after they become a chief. You know, so they'll hit the pay grade increase, and then they'll retire shortly after that. They don't stick around. If they've got their 20 years in, they only stick around long enough to get the next pay grade increase. Then they retire so they can get 90% of the increased amount rather than what they were getting.
Number three, what laws, regulations, and taxes are you willing to give up?
All of them.
Yeah. One thing libertarians have in common with many urban leftists is a desire to eliminate laws that criminalize what people consensually consume or otherwise do with their bodies. But while we should legalize drugs, prostitution, and other vices, that isn't all that serious police reform requires. Eric Garner died at the hands of the New York cops, in part due to suspicions that he was holding and selling loosies, black market loose cigarettes, and that city's black market for cigarettes exists entirely due to the city's high taxes and government-mandated price floor.
Totally.
Yeah. The busy little not-in-my-backyard nanny state leftists are the ones who killed Eric Garner. The cops are just the one who throttled him.
Well, a lot of it also has to do with underage smokers. You know,
they can't buy
right,
a pack
so
of cigarettes.
So they go to the black market.
So they buy a Lucy.
That's what I did. It was 50 cents.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes a dollar.
Wasn't it a dollar when he was selling in New York City? It has to be more than a dollar there, right? Because isn't it like...
In New York, I imagine it was pretty expensive.
It's got to be like $2 for a Lucy there.
But I mean, they were making $15 profit off a pack when I was a teenager smoking, right?
There, you're going to pay $15 for a pack. You're paying
yeah,
almost
York,
a dollar
yeah.
a cigarette.
Why
New
not
York
just
City?
Vape?
Because you can't vape if you're under 18 either.
Well, it's a hell of a lot easier to get the equipment. And you
Is
can
it?
Vape for a lot longer on a cigarette.
Is it? Because then you're not buying... Lucy's off a guy on the street. You have to find a friend,
somebody
a trusted
who wants to go in and
person
buy
who's willing
you.
To do this illegal thing for you.
I mean, they can find it.
Yeah, for sure.
If you're in high school.
It's probably easier to get alcohol as a 17-year-old than it is to get...
When I was
a
kid, we walked in and bought cigarettes, all right? So I don't know
we
what this
certain
is like.
Stores.
But I'll say this, when it came to liquor, I couldn't really get it on my own, so I'd just find people to do it for mm-hmm. me. It wasn't very hard for me. I suppose it's harder for others. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I found liquor to be easier to acquire than tobacco.
I will say this, though, is I probably would have preferred to drink beer or wine coolers, but I got liquor because it was compact.
Mm-hmm.
A bottle of vodka I could put in my backpack. A case of beer, I couldn't.
Yeah, it's hard to conceal that.
It's certainly, yeah, you imagine clopping along sooner or later with a pop's top.
All right, so that's your story for tonight. Check out more of Aria. Plug a website, Aria. What do you got?
Off the top of my head?
Yeah.
I don't have one.
You don't have a website?
I mean, I have the ReformedSatanicChurch.com, but I mean, it's not finished.
Wait, was it the Reformed?
No, it's ReformedSatanicChurch.com.
Reformed Satanic Church.
I hope it's real Reformed.
It is.
You're running for office. We should have mentioned that.
Oh, yes, I am.
We should have mentioned that.
Yeah, for people who actually are sick of the police system and want change, hey, I don't intend to do the job.
Vote for the Satanist.
Vote for the Satanist tranny in the room who will not be the sheriff if elected.
I just wanted to be on the radio.
What's your sheriff website? Do you have that one up?
Not yet. I still the domain name, though,
okay.
So there's
right.
that.
Coming soon. We'll let you know when that's available. Meanwhile, you can join us online in the meantime at freetalklive.com, and we'll see you tomorrow night.
Remember when you first heard about Bitcoin? How long did it take you to realize this little project would soon change the world? Do you kind of wish you had got involved sooner? Well, now is your chance to be a part of the next revolution in money. Intercoin is working to finally make crypto go mainstream. It's designed to be scalable enough to support everyday payments and even elections without the state. Bitcoin was originally supposed to be a peer-to-peer cash system, the way we would all pay one another without having to trust any third party. But instead, over time, it mostly became a store of value. That's because every 10 minutes, the Bitcoin network must put all transactions into a block, and that block can only hold so much. If crypto is to become mainstream for people to use it for everyday payments, we need a new architecture, one that is as secure as Bitcoin while being far more scalable. Check out intercoin.org to find out more and maybe pick up some of those coins for yourself.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now. 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.